I'm going to preach, and the title of my preach this morning is, How Good is the Good News to You? And I'm going to touch on three things. The first thing I'm going to say is, from Scripture, I want to show why it's so important that we hold on to the true gospel. And the second thing I want to say is, what is this actual message? What is this gospel? And how it has impacted my life and what it means to me, how it's become real to me. And the third thing is, how do we know that we are actually in this true gospel, that we are rooted in the true gospel, that we're not believing in vain? What is the evidence? So, like I said, for the first bit, I'm going to read a bit from Scripture. So if you can put that Scripture up for me, please. We're going to start off by reading from Romans 1:16 that says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And if you can go to the next one. 1 Corinthians 1:18, Paul says, For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. In other translation, it says it's foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The next one. 2 Corinthians 11, 3-4. But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. And the next one. Galatians 1:6-8, if you remember, Luke touched on this last 2 weeks ago as well. Paul says, and when Paul wrote this, he's irritated. He says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but that there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. So, when I read these scriptures, it's quite sobering to me. I can see from Scripture two things, that it is possible for us to believe in vain, and that it is actually a false gospel is no gospel at all. So, it's a good thing that we make sure we are rooted in the true gospel. So I want to explain a bit from my own life. And this morning I don't want to talk about what the gospel is not, because we can share the whole day. There are so many things that's going out there. We want to stay focused on the good news, what the gospel is, because that's what puts the smile on our faces. What is it? It's good news. And that's what I want to stay focused on. But I want to just share with you a little bit of my own life, how it is possible to believe in vain, because I did. You see, for most of my life, I have been a Christian. I grew up in a Christian home. I even often went to church regularly. But yet, I only got saved a couple of years ago. But my whole life, I've been a Christian. How is that possible? Somehow, I've believed in vain. You know, I even believed the story of Jesus. I heard the story. I can honestly tell you that I'd lie if I said I didn't believe it. I believed it. We see the movies. We see Jesus. I mean, I even got emotional, tears in my eyes. You know, that I mean, this amazing man called Jesus who came, did nothing but good as a servant. And yet they beat him up. They scorched him. They nailed him to a cross. They put crown of all these visual pictures we have. You've seen the movies, some of you might have. We read the stories. Spear in his side, everything. Plucked out his beard, spat on him. It's terrible. Gets tears in my eyes. But you know what? So did Titanic. I think I cried more. I cry quite easily. I watch Seven to Lawn, then I cry, but I don't watch Seven to Lawn anymore. That's for other reasons. But how come? So what I'm trying to say is, somehow I believed in vain, because this story of Jesus was nothing but a story. It was just another sad story with a happy ending that brought tears to my eyes. It was nothing but a story for me. It had no power in my life. And why can I say that? Because I heard the story. I truly believed it. But it didn't change anything in me. My life wasn't changed. I still lived in sin. I had no desire to spend time with this Jesus. In fact, I didn't even know that this Jesus had died on a cross. I could actually really spend time with him. The only time that I actually really confessed him as Lord was in some sort of church setting. The only time I really cried out to God was when I was in some sort of trouble. That was what it was for me. So let's move on to the actual message, and then also I want to share on one or two things on that message that actually really became a reality in my life. So bear with me. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1-11, if you can give me that full one. Yeah. So now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you. This is the message. This is the gospel message. This is the good news. The goodest of the good. The news. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, we read that. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James and then to all the apostles. Last of all, to one ultimately born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. Here's the message. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. He rose again. Now I'm telling you, that is the best of the best news. But everyone is sitting, and let me use an example. You get a phone call. You must think this is real now. You get a phone call. You have just received one. No, let's not use a phone call. There's too many scams out there. there's too many scams out there. You have a knock on your door. This is real. You must see this. You must experience it. And here comes someone, and he says to you, I've got good news for you. And he chucks a whole bag of money into your home, into your front door, and he says, this is for you. Millions of rand. He has even a tester. He's not false. You can check. This is your money. It's you. You have done nothing to deserve it. It is for you. You can have it. And it's some millions of rand. I mean, I'm honestly telling you, if that happens to me, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be very excited. Because I've got a little bit of debt that I'm trying to sort out. And I've got a lot of plans. And it's costing money. It's going to excite me. For me, it's going to be good news. It's going to be very, very, very good news. But then, the next moment I rock up at your house with my Bible, with 1 Corinthians 15, and I knock on your door, and I say to you, I've got some good news to share with you. And you say, no. I've just received the good news. Don't worry, I've got very, very good. I said, no, you haven't heard the good news. There's no better news than what I'm going to share with you. So whatever you ever want to tell me, can you just hold on? Because the best news I'm about to share with you. And then I start giving, and you say, okay, it's fine, give it. And then I start giving you 1 Corinthians 15, and you're going to look at me and be like, how is this? Jesus died for you. I just want to tell you, here's the good news. Jesus died for you. He was buried, raised again after the third day. He appeared to Cephas, others, more than 500. You're going to be like, but how is that supposed to be better news than the first news I just got? Do you see where I'm going at? How is that good news? How does that really excite you? How do we get this simple message to excite us, to be the actual good news, the best news there is? Because regardless of what we feel, regardless of what the world outside there says about it, this is the good news. We can't change it. It is the good news. So whether it does something to us, whether it doesn't, it has the power to, it is still the best news. So, I'm going to share with you one or two things that actually became a reality with this good news in my life. And I'm building onto something, so bear with me. Different things of the gospel became more clear to me as I grew in Christ. And some of you sit here as born again will realize that at different times you get different revelations of the cross. And it excites you. And it is, for me personally, you know, I never understood certain things. So there's certain aspects like the basics that became real to me. And this stuff that I'm telling you now is really exciting me. And there's a less exciting part to it, because why? Man sinned. We see that God hates sin. He absolutely hates sin. It's something we battle with to understand that concept of hate and love as soon as it's connected to God. But it's because God is love and nothing but love and nothing but truth and nothing but good that he has to hate what is not good. But I didn't completely understand that. Then we inherited that sinful nature. We see that from Scripture. And we see in Romans 3:23, I think it says that the wages for this sin is death. We've heard these scriptures. The Romans says to us that the wages for sin is death. We deserve death. I realize that I fall in this category. I am sinning. Where at first I didn't realize that. I saw how sinful I am. I saw that my good deeds, like you explained, Luke, 2 weeks ago, cannot outweigh the bad. You know, if I wasn't that sinful, maybe then there was still a chance that I could actually outweigh it with good works. But it's not. I am that sinful. Because why? Because I'm not comparing myself, I myself, and to other people. Maybe then I'm not too shabby. But I'm comparing myself to a holy God. And then you cannot get away from the fact that you are nothing, nothing in comparison to a holy God. So now he says the punishment for this sin is death. And I realize, okay, I am sin. I am bad and I need to be punished. Because why? God is just. God is the definition of just. He's not the kind of just we see in our jurisdiction. God is just. He's as fair can be. And therefore, in Romans 6 we see that the wages for this sin. Sorry, let me just think what I want to say. I'm getting confused. Romans 3 and Romans 6. He says that the punishment is death. Basically, the wages of the sin is death. So God has to punish the sin. He has to punish it. So for me, I see that, Lord, I am sinful. But okay, there's good news. There's good news. And this is another aspect of the gospel that I didn't understand. If you remember before Jesus went to that cross, he prayed to the Father. He said, Father, let this cup pass from me. And my whole life, I was thinking this cup, I was thinking about it like that story. It's Jesus, he was scared because of what he's going to undergo now, the physical suffering that he's going to undergo. He was scared. And I was thinking, what is this cup? And that is what God made clear to me. You see, that cup that Jesus said, Father, let this cup pass from me if it's your will. That was that wrath, that anger, that fierce hatred of God towards sin. That is what Jesus was scared of. The physical suffering, I don't want to diminish at all. It plays a huge role in the bigger scheme of things. But that is quite frankly not what Jesus was scared of. I mean, there are mere men today who actually worship him till they blow out their last breath while they're being martyred for the name of Jesus. Could Jesus not do it? Of course he could, but he said, turned out to be not the Father's will. And he drank that cup. And at the end of the day, God says in Isaiah that it pleased the Father to crush him. Now you hear these stories and you're like, how is that supposed to excite you? How is that supposed to excite you? Who's this kind of God? Is he some sort of sadistic father who enjoyed? No. Then you see why. Because finally that wrath, that hatred towards him, that has been appeased, as the Bible says. It's been satisfied. It's been poured out. The Son drank it. And I was reminded of the words, it is finished. It is finished. And then you can see why God is actually saying it pleased him. And this has become a reality for me personally. Might not have for you or something else, but for me, this was such a big eye-opener. I never understood it. It was part of this gospel, that part of this story that was just used to be a story that I didn't understand, that didn't really do something for me. I saw, I'm sinful. I need you. I'm in trouble. But I saw that he made a way where there was no way. And that excites me. That stirs up an excitement in me that I cannot explain. You see, but here's the whole thing. Before that could happen, something else needed to happen. I could not get any fear of the Lord, and I could get no excitement about that gospel. It would have never been anything but a story before this very thing did not happen. And this is the first step. I had to be born again. When I got born again, all of a sudden, this good news truly became good news to me. When I became born again, suddenly this good news, this simple message of 1 Corinthians 15, had an effect on my life. It changed me. You're going to ask me, how do you get born again? Hopefully most of us here are. But some of us might not be. I have not been. And therefore I can't expect of someone who's not born again to see it the way I see it. To get as exciting about worship as some of us do. Because they might just not be born again. You can't expect of them to feel what you feel and what. Because this message becomes real when you're born again. When you're being changed by the Spirit of God. And how is that? How do we become born again? We see that in the Bible. We see that in Acts all the time. It's repent and believe. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe. Get baptized. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's as easy as that. So, that was the little bit more tense part, but that became a reality for me, and even with that, it brings an excitement in me that I cannot explain to you. When Luke preached it 2 weeks ago, it's because I get something about this. I would never truly understand what Jesus really did on that cross, but I get something that really excites me. So how do I know that I am believing true and not in vain? How do I know that I am truly born again? People want evidence. All of us are like, show me. You saying this, show me. And that is the thing. There is more than enough. There's more than enough evidence that I'm not believing in vain. Because I've been changed. Can you please go to Romans 5:1? I want to read these scriptures. And I want to say these scriptures are a reality in my life. These scriptures are true. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I have peace with God. As I stand here before you, I can tell you I have peace with God, and I am excited. I did not have that. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 4:16. And no creature, 4:16, I give you 13 here, sorry man. It's basically the scripture that says, we draw near to the throne of grace with confidence. Luke, you said earlier, with confidence I draw near to the throne of grace to receive that mercy. I can now step into the Father's presence with confidence, and I know, I can say to him, Lord, I need you. I have stuffed up again. I need you. I'm here to receive that mercy. And it excites me because you know what? I was a bit worried before that. I'm no longer worried. Because why? Because the price has been paid for my sin. For everything in the past, for every sin that I'm doing right now, and for everything that I'm still going to do, it's been paid. That excites me. And how do I know that? Because I've been born again. The Spirit Himself testifies that this scripture is true. So if you don't understand this, if this is not true in your life, I can't get cross with you and say, but why don't you see it? Because maybe you're not born again. But when you are born again, this becomes reality. Then people stand here and become crazy, and you're like, all of a sudden I'm part of the craziness, and I don't think they're too crazy anymore. Becomes normal. Becomes the new normal, because how else? There's another very, very, very true evidence that I've been justified, that I've been born again, that this good news is truly good news to me. And that's something that goes with it, sanctification. In Afrikaans, heiligmaking. It's a beautiful word. I can see in my life that I'm being sanctified. And I love to use the analogy of a cloth, and all cloth used to be white, now dirty, to represent our habits. But when Jesus gets hold of us, he starts washing this cloth. And some of you might know, I've done that before, it's not so easy if a cloth is really old and dirty to get that. It takes maybe a bit of, and maybe extra chemicals, but it becomes whiter and whiter and whiter, and it becomes more clean and more clean. And that is exactly how it is with us. As we grow in our repentance, as we grow in holiness, it doesn't just happen like this. It's a process. But it's evidence that this good news is good news to me. It's changed me. I've been born again. And what happens now? As this cloth gets cleaner and cleaner and whiter, as soon as there's a little spot, we see that. As soon as there's a stain, we see that where we didn't used to. And we can ask God to wash us again. And that's why we don't only repent of things like stop sleeping with my girlfriend, but as I grow in my repentance, as I get sanctified, even a swear word that comes out of my mouth is like, brings me under conviction. Because I'm growing in my repentance, I'm being sanctified, made new and beautiful by God. 1 Corinthians 15, he raised from the dead. It's no longer just a story. The power is in my life. I am overcoming sin. I have overcome so much in the past 3 years. It's not even true. Why? Because he truly raised, not only in the story, it's a reality in my life. It's a reality in my life. God says things in the word like, I will make everything new. He will change a heart of stone into a heart of flesh. He says, I will give you new desires. That's evidence. I didn't have the desires. This thing was lying there full of dust. I could not. I've tried to be more moral so many times. I failed. But something in me changed. And I had new desires. All of a sudden, this thing is full of duct tape because I couldn't put it down. I just wanted to be in his presence. I just wanted to spend time with him. What once used to be ridiculous, these church people, is now exciting me. Why? Because he gave me new desires. I've changed. I want to pray. I want to spend time with him. I'm going to tell you one last story. Maybe if the worship team or someone from the worship team can come up and just there was a lady that recently slept over at the guest house, and this is in a way it's actually a funny story, but she didn't like me in the beginning at all, but she found some sort of interest in me after a while, saw that I'm not that bad. I made her wait outside the gate a little bit too long because I didn't know she's going to arrive at that specific time. And I went and I bought a snack. And when I came, she was actually ready to check in. And I was supposed to check her in and she wasn't there. And she was livid. And I was still walking. I didn't realize coming up the lane, of those of you know where it is. And I saw this and I saw, okay, shucks, this is in front of our gate. So I put up a little bit of pace so she could see it's me, and I could see the whole attitude just change. I don't know how to, but it's that. I'm like, okay, I'm in trouble. She even gave a little kick at the gate, and I'm like, okay, this lady is seriously not happy, okay? But as she got to know me, she forgave me, saw that I'm not actually that bad. And she actually spent a lot of time keeping me company while I didn't have the time because I had to prepare. But she kind of think that I was not too bad until I shared my faith. That was an absolute deal breaker for that girl. I'm telling you now. And at one stage, she was so cross with me. She was livid. Because I couldn't compromise on what I believe. And I told her what I believe. And straight away she challenged me on all the controversial things, all these subjects, that's homosexuality, abortion, sex outside of marriage, divorce. I couldn't compromise. I gave my what I believe. She said, why? Are you crazy? It's just a book. How can you say? I said, exactly. By faith, I'm choosing to believe that what is in this book is what God expects of me. And that is true. And therefore, even though I don't have all the answers for you, I don't understand it as well, I do believe that that's what God is expecting of me, and by faith, I'm going to do that. And I'm not going to compromise on that. And you know what she said to me? She turned around at the end of the day, and she said to me, you know what? She's had this conversation with so many people before. And every time it turns out to be one big fight, just arguments. This time it didn't. I really did not get cross with her. Not at all. Because once again, I told you earlier, I cannot expect of her to be excited about these things, to see it the way I see it. I can't. But she said to me one thing. She said, Mike, there's something different with you from all the other conversations I've had with these people. I can see that this stuff is real for you. And I just went like, Lord, hallelujah. Thank you. I know. And I'm not ashamed to admit it. I'm not boasting. I'm saying, I have found Jesus, and this is good news to me. This stuff is real to me. This stuff is as real can get.